بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Praised be Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad, His family, His companions and whoever follows Him righteously until the Day of Judgment. In life, we go through many different types of tests, trials and challenges. We go through distress, and we go through anxiety, we go through depression, and we go through grief, and we go through misfortunes. And Allah says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Which means, do the people think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tried? So do you think that's it? That you're not going to be tested? You're not going to be trialed? Allah says in the following verse, وَلَقَدْ فَتَّنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Which means, but we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars. Who are the ones who will continue with their belief, and who are the ones who are going to deviate? Just because they've now been struck with some calamity. Because there are some people who worship Allah right on the edge. Whenever something good happens to him, he's happy with it. But if a trial befalls him, he goes back to his old ways. And he loses both the dunya and the akhirah. He loses both worlds. And we must understand and we must remember that life is filled with trials, with challenges, with hardships. And some of these trials can be really, really difficult. And some others, not so difficult. So that there are different kinds of trials we get in this life. It could be a child that doesn't listen to you. It could be a difficult spouse. You could have sickness. And also the sickness, it might be temporary. Or the sickness may be chronic. You have it all the time. The sickness may be terminal. Like some people, they have cancer. And sometimes we have people that are poor. So we have poverty. Or for example, you lose a loved one. Somebody that's dear to you, could be a family member, could be a relative, you know, could be a friend, anyone that's close to you. And this is something which is really difficult to deal with. It could also be that you lose your job. It could be that you lose some valuable possession. For example, you lose your car or you lose your house. It could be that you're imprisoned for a crime that you didn't commit. So as you can hear, the challenges in life are many. And you don't know where they're going to come from, and how they come. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us it's a test. This world that we live in, it's a transitory life. We're in this life only for a short period of time. Some people, it befits them to be wealthy, and being wealthy might help them stay on the straight path. Some other people, it befits them to be poor, because if they were rich, they would go astray. Some people, it befits them and it is better for them to be sick, because if they were in good health, they would not remember Allah. So we don't know when we might be hit with a trial, and we don't know how and from where they can come to us, but we can know that they are a test for us. Allah says, وَنَبَلُوَنَّكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And we test you with evil and with good as trial. So it's not only the evil things that we can be tested and trialed with, but also with good things. And I would like to share to you a story of a leper, a bald man and a blind man, which has been narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in both Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So he's narrating to us a story from amongst the Banu Israel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends this leper an angel. And the leper is a person who's suffering from a disease called leprosy. It's when a person has these poorly pigmented skin patches. So he sends this leper an angel, and the angel says to him, what thing do you like the most? What would you like the most? And he said, good color and good skin. Because the people have a strong aversion to me. They want to always, you know, keep away from me. So the angel touched him, and his illness was cured, and he was given a good color and beautiful skin. The angel asked him, "What kind of wealth do you like best?" And he replied, "Camels." So this person, this leper, was given a pregnant she-camel, so that it can give birth to other camels. And then the angel said to him, "May Allah bless you in it." So then the angel went on to the bald-headed man and said, "What thing do you like most?" And this bald guy, he said, "I like good hair and wish to be cured of this disease. Because people, you know, they have this repulsion for me. They don't want to be around me." And the angel touched him and his illness was cured. And he was given good hair. The angel asked him, like he asked the first person, the leper, "What kind of wealth do you like best?" And the bald man, he replied, "Cows." So the angel gave him a pregnant cow and said, "May Allah bless you in it." Then after that, the angel went to the blind man and asked, "What thing do you like best?" And he said, the blind man, "I like that Allah may restore my eyesight to me so that I may see the people." And the angel touched his eyes and Allah gave him back his eyesight. The angel asked him then, "What kind of wealth do you like best?" Just like I asked the previous two men. So the blind man, he replied, "Sheep." And the angel gave him a pregnant sheep. Afterwards, all the three pregnant animals gave birth to young ones and multiplied and brought forth so much that one of, like each of these three men, they had like a valley of these animals. They had so many animals, so much wealth. And then the test time came about. This angel, the same angel, now came back, but disguised in the shape and appearance of a leper. And he went to the leper and said, or the ex-leper, "I am a poor man who has lost all means of livelihood while on a journey. So none will satisfy my need except Allah and then you." And he said, "In the name of him who has given you such nice color and beautiful skin and so much property, I ask you to give me a camel so that I may reach my destination." So what did this ex-leper say? He said, "I have many obligations." Basically saying, "I cannot give you anything." And the angel said, "You know, I think I know you. Were you not a leper to whom the people had a strong aversion? They didn't want to be around. Weren't you a poor man? And then Allah gave you all this property." And this man, he replied, "You know, this is all wrong. You got it wrong. You got the wrong guy. I got this property through inheritance from my forefathers." And the angel said then, "If you are telling a lie, then let Allah make you as you were before." Then the angel, disguised in the shape of and appearance of a bald man, went to the ex-bald man and said to him the same as he told the first one. And he too answered the same as the first one did. And the angel said, "If you are telling a lie, then let Allah make you as you were before." The angel, then disguised in the shape of a blind man, went to the blind man and said the same thing. "I am a poor man and a traveler, and you know, whose means of livelihood have been exhausted while on a journey. I have nobody to help you except Allah and then you. I ask you in the name of him who has given you back your eyesight to give me a sheep so that with its help I may complete my journey." And now listen to the response of this blind man. The man said, "No doubt, I was blind and Allah gave me back my eyesight. I was poor and Allah made me rich. So take anything you wish from my property. By Allah, I will not stop you from taking anything you need of my property, which you may take for Allah's sake." And the angel told him, he replied, "Keep your property with you. You," meaning these three men, "have been tested, and Allah is pleased with you and is angry with your two companions." So in this story, we see how people can be tested with both good and bad things. All of these three men were first tested with an illness, and then after that, with wealth. So it's not the only bad things that we can be tested with, but also the good things can come as a test, like wealth or even good health. And it can be a test for this person about whether he remains grateful and thankful to Allah and appreciates his blessings upon him, Or he becomes cocky and arrogant and attributing all of his wealth and success to himself or some other worldly means, and thereby being totally ungrateful to that who is the main reason behind his wealth, is being ungrateful to Allah. And when we look at the people of the past, and we look at the prophets specifically, we see that they were also tested. And why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning all these stories? Just so we can enjoy these stories? No, there are lessons to be learned from these stories. There are morals that we need to take heed of. In one of the hadith, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, O messenger of Allah, which people are tested most severely? The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, they are the prophets. Then the next best, then the next best. A man is tried according to his religion. If he is firm in his religion, then his trials will be more severe. If he is weak in his religion, then he is tried according to his strength in religion. Let's talk about Nuh alayhi salam. His da'wah, his calling people to tawheed and to la ilaha illallah, was for several hundred years. And how many followers did he have? He had only so many followers that were enough to go to this on the ark or the ship or this boat, and that was it, during several hundred years of da'wah. So there are going to be trials and challenges in da'wah. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, he had an illness that lasted for 17 or 18 years, and his wife would come to him and say to him, Oh Ayyub, we can't handle this test anymore. But Ayyub alayhi salam, he remained thankful and patient, even though the people would turn away from him and they would not have the same patience as he had. And Yusuf alayhi salam was tried with envy, the envy of his brothers towards him. And he was thrown into a well, and then after that he was sold as a slave. And top of all this, he spent 8 years in jail. And he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what about Khalilullah, the close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam? How was he trialed? He was thrown into a fire. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, with the children of Israel, every type of evil present in their society, they had it. And then we have the trials and tribulations of the best man who ever walked on the face of this earth, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He grows up as a what? As an orphan. His mother, she dies when he's about 6 years old. His grandfather, who then took care of him, dies a couple of years later. And his uncle dies, and Khadija dies. And when we talk about his wife Khadija, or his uncle Abu Talib, they're not just any wife or any uncle. Khadija, for example, he was the first woman that the Prophet ﷺ married, and he was married to her for 25 years. And she was her best friend. She was the love of his life. And subhanAllah, she was also one of the first people to support her, to support him, and the first people to accept Islam. And then she passes away. Of course, this is a trial. Same with Abu Talib. It's not just an uncle, but it was like Abu Talib was like a father to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took care of him since he was 8 years old. And then later in his life, also, he loses his children, his three sons, Abdullah, Al-Qasim, and Ibrahim. All of them die. And he's trialed with envy. He's called names. He's called a madman. He's called a poet. He's called all sorts of names. So we need to remember these trials and tribulations of the people of the past. And then there's also Sahaba, Bilal and Uthman and Umar and many others. So don't think that you're alone in your trial, or in your tribulation, or in your hardship, or in your challenge. Trials and afflictions from Allah serve as a wake-up call to remind you and I that this life is only an enjoyment of deception. Another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may put us through trials and tribulations, And one of the wisdoms behind it is to cleanse us of our sins. It's a form of purification and detoxifying you of your sins. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ has said, "No fatigue, nor disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befalls a Muslim, even if it were the prick he receives from a thorn, but that Allah expiates some of his sins for that." So when you're going through some stress, that hardship, that challenge you're dealing with, know that Allah is rewarding you as long as you are patient and you don't act in a way that is showing unacceptance of this in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't start complaining and blaming Allah, saying things like, "Why is Allah doing this to me? What did I do to deserve this?" etc. From amongst the reasons why you can also be tested, it can be a sign that Allah loves you. The Prophet ﷺ said in Sahih Bukhari, "If Allah intends good for someone, then he afflicts him with trials and he subjects him to an adversity. He gives him some hardship." And what is one of the biggest reasons behind our misfortunes? Well, in many cases, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will trial us as a result of our sins and our shortcomings towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And neglecting the Quran and neglecting the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or engaging in innovations. This is all what leads to many different types of trials. Allah has said, "ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ." Which means, corruption has appeared throughout the land and sea by reason of what the hands of people have earned. The hands of people. So he may let them taste part of the consequence of what they have done, that perhaps they will return to righteousness. So what is the cure? The remedy. The cure is, number one, to have the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, that Allah has decreed whatever is to happen to us, it has been decreed 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And Allah wrote it down already. The next remedy is sabr, to have patience. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wondrous or amazing is the affair of the believer, for there is good for him in every matter. And this is not the case with anyone except the believer. If happiness befalls him, then he thanks Allah, and thus there is good for him. And if some harm befalls him, then he shows patience, and thus there is good for him." And this is the case of a believer. Another remedy has been taught to us in a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Look at those who are beneath you," you know, those who are in less position to you, "and do not look at those who are above you, in higher, in better position. For it is more suitable that you should not consider as less the blessings of Allah, so that you can appreciate the blessings of Allah." So don't always look at, you know, what he has got or she has got, something that's better, better health, better money, better living standards, better friends maybe, etc. No, look at that which... Look at those people who do not have all that. You're in a better position than many others. And also, from amongst the ways is to contemplate the worst case scenarios. And also looking at how to transform your trials into gains and into profits. And how to benefit and how to learn from that which you're going through. And therefore become a better and a stronger person. If you're going through hardships, also turn to salah and dua. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever he was troubled by something, he would turn to prayer. And also, it's important to always remain optimistic, even in the worst situations. Always put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that after every hardship comes ease. And Allah teaches us in His book, there is one thing that if you can get in this life, it is more valuable than everything else. Everything else will be okay if you have this one thing. And that one thing is a closeness to Allah. It's being good with Allah and truly developing a bond and connection with Him. The problem with people is that when life is good and only good, A lot of people, they get distracted. You go from a video game to a movie, checking your social media status, to hanging out with friends, to a restaurant, to sleep. Allah is out of the picture. There's no Allah left in this person's life. It's just you chilling. It's all there is. And then the times get tough. The friends aren't there anymore. The games you used to play or the movies you used to like, they don't feel good anymore. The car doesn't look good anymore because the health is gone. And when the health is gone, none of these things mean anything anymore. All you care about is, you know, I just want to be well again. Or with some people, if I could just walk again, that would be fine. If I could just see again, if I could just hear again. People are bringing you your favorite food, but you don't want to eat it. People want to show you a movie, but you don't want to watch it. All these things that you lived for, everything that you went from A to B to C to get, all these things are gone. You don't care about any of them anymore. Because of this one blessing that Allah diminished for you a little bit. Or maybe it's not the health that you lost. It can be anything. You lose your job and you find yourself in poverty. Or you lose someone you love, and after that you're in a state where all those things you cared so much about don't really matter to you anymore. And at that point, you have two options. If you are of these people who are on the cliff, on the edge, you can start complaining to Allah. Why did you do this to me? You just didn't like that I was happy? Or you can earn the greatest treasure you and I can ever earn. And that is a humility and closeness to Allah. To actually realize that even when I was healthy, even when I was wealthy, even when I was doing well, everything was fine. I didn't realize even then that none of that could have been without Allah. Allah was actually providing for me every moment. I didn't earn anything on my own. None of it was something that I deserved. It was a gift from Allah. All that you have is a favor that Allah has given you. But the thing is, you don't realize it at the times when everything is easy or when these things come easy to you. But then you start begging Allah and you start asking Allah and crying to Allah and praying to Allah like you've never prayed before and feeling closer to Him like you've never felt before. And then Allah heals you. And then you realized that those moments when nobody was with you, when you were dealing with your trials, you were just by yourself crying to Allah, these were the sweetest moments of your entire life. Those were the few moments of your life when you actually had nothing between you and Allah. And those might be the moments that save you in the Akhirah, in the hereafter. That might have been the biggest gift Allah ever gave you, those moments. But for some people who are on the edge, and Allah describes them in the Quran as, and of the people is he who worships Allah on an edge. So some people, when times get tough, when أصابته فتنة انقلب على وجهه, but if he is struck by trial, he turns on his face. He turns his face away. And what does that mean? It means, I want nothing to do with Allah. How come he abandoned me? How come he gave me a hard time? Why would he do that to me? And when this happens, and this is actually very easy to understand in our times, we live in this hyper-consumer society. Everything comes quickly. You want to be entertained. You want to be entertained. You know, just open an app on your phone. You want to buy something, same thing. You just pick up your phone and order it online, and it will show up at your door. Everything has become so effortless, and everything has become so instantaneous. You want something, it'll come to you. You don't have to go to it. It'll just come to you. And we're used to getting served now. We're used to constantly getting served. And if one order of yours is like 2 days, 3 days late, what do? You're going to give that company 1 star, thumbs down, bad rating. You're used to this now. And now you make dua to Allah and you expect Allah to take care of some problems of yours. But you are so used to getting things done so quickly, so immediately. And when this doesn't happen, you're like, you know, this is poor service. I need better service. I'm not going to go to Allah again with this problem. Because you feel like you're a customer now. You're entitled now. And he turns his face from Allah. And he says, you know, you didn't listen to me. And you didn't even solve my problem. But what we need to understand is that Allah has a plan for everyone. And just to give you a comparison, in the case of Yaqub alayhi salam, he lost his child Yusuf. Allah returned his child to him after years, many years. And in the case of Musa alayhi salam, his mother also lost her child. She put him in the water, and Allah returned the child after just a few hours, because by the time the child got hungry, the next feeding was from the same mother, because he wouldn't drink from anyone else. So what am I trying to get at? Sometimes in this world, Allah will relieve that pain you have, and He'll solve that problem you have immediately. But sometimes He will relieve it or solve it after many years. But in all of it, in all of that, there's good. And especially if you look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, think about this khayr, this goodness in it. All those years his father cried, right? His father almost lost his eyesight, and eventually, and some of the scholars actually have understood that he actually became blind from all this crying. But all this time, where was Yusuf? Yusuf was in a prison. And first he was a child servant. But when he got old enough, he was thrown into prison. He spent several years in jail. So either he served as a servant or he served as a prisoner inmate in jail. It's not a good life. It's not a good life at all. But at the end of it, when he interprets the dream of this king, and that dream means that the entire economy is going to collapse in 7 years and people are going to die from starvation, the only one who knows how to handle that crisis was Yusuf. Had he not been in jail, would have he helped the king? No. You understand this now? It's Yusuf who helped solving this problem. And if Yusuf hadn't been there, if he had been with his father this whole time, that never would have happened. But now when Yusuf is there to interpret the dream and says, I am the one who can take care of this responsibility. You know, make me the treasury secretary. Give me this responsibility. And when he does that and he takes care of it, what happens next? What happens next is that thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of parents don't have to cry that their children died of starvation. So one father cried for several years, but his tears, Allah made them a way for saving thousands of families from crying. And had he not saved that crop, the entire land would have been in drought and people would have died of starvation, and war and all kinds of other crises could have happened as well. So sometimes things we see as bad can actually bring about something good in the long term. And that's the thing with humans, we are often not able to see this bigger picture. And sometimes the difficulty you go through isn't just better for you. Maybe through your difficulty you will become an ongoing charity for so many other people, and you don't even know that. But if you're on the edge and you don't have that kind of trust in Allah, so you turn your back to Allah, انقلب على وجهه, and then Allah says, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, he has lost this world and the hereafter. And this is what I want to leave you with. When people do that, they have lost this world and the next. What does that mean? This person lost this world and the next. So whether you believe in Allah or not, you will still have challenges in your life. Yes or no? Whether you believe in Allah or not, it is still going to be tough to make a living. It's still going to be tough to battle some kind of a sickness. And this life, it's not like that, you know, the believers get all the luxury and disbelievers get difficulties. No. Allah made struggles for all human beings. And if you could go through this struggle, having iman, having faith, then you will have the best of this life. And while you are making the best of this life, you'll be making also the best for the next life too. You will get the kind of peace nobody else enjoys. You know, you're sick and a disbeliever is sick, but in your sickness you still find peace and they find no peace. You are in some financial trouble and they are also in some financial trouble. Exactly the same kind of trouble. Exactly the same kind of hunger, the same kind of pain, but your heart is still at ease. Allah is still giving you tranquility. Allah is still rewarding you. Allah is still protecting you, and they're miserable. They made this life worse for themselves too. And on top of that, they missed out on the next life. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And this is why we ask Allah, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. And what does this hasana mean? When you ask Allah for good things in this life, that's what it means. It means good on the outside and good on the inside. Good as in beautiful, tasty, enjoyable from the outside, and also good for my next life. Actually good for me in the long run, building my akhirah at the same time. This is Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan. And therefore also, wa fil akhirati hasanatan, and good in the next life. Something that is beautiful and good on the inside as well. So Allah says, he lost this world and the next. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ That is what is the manifest loss, the clear loss. And the Quran uses three words for loss. Allah uses خُسْر, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْر, and he uses خَسَارًا, and he uses خُسْرَان. And خُسْرَان is the worst kind of loss, the worst imaginable loss. And of all the kinds of loss Allah talks about, the worst of all losses is this one. Somebody that was actually a believer, but he lost his faith when times got tough. And as a result, they lost this life and the next life. And they had it all. Allah had everything laid out for them. Everything was laid out for them. So I'll leave you with the following. Allah will describe, الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Allah says, those believers will inherit paradise. Strange word. In many places it says, like, they will enter paradise. But in this verse, he says they will inherit paradise. Now, you know that inheritance is actually something that, you know, is handed down to you because your family owned it already. You get it from your forefathers. And that is actually how the Prophet ﷺ described it. And there's two explanations of this. Jannah was actually given to our father, Adam alayhi salam. And so already we are qualified for it, already. So we are getting in mirath, we're going to inherit it. But in another beautiful hadith, an incredible statement of the Prophet ﷺ, he says, Allah made a house in Jannah in Firdaus, and Firdaus is the highest of Jannah. Allah made a house in Firdaus for every human being. Not just every believer, but every human being. But some people just didn't want to go. So when believers get there, there's going to be a lot of empty homes. Wallahu alam. So may Allah make us of those who inherit homes in Jannah, and not of those whose homes remain empty. The house Allah has built for you is already there. And the expectation for you to enter the highest place in Jannah is already there. So don't mess it up. Don't fall off the edge. And don't lose your faith in Allah. Just think of these tough times as just Allah wanting to see what price you're willing to pay for that house, for an everlasting life in paradise. So may Allah help us through our difficulties and never allow us to lose our faith in Him. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.